The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in this morning, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander, Wyatt Tomchek in for the vacationing Kelly Bidlin. Kelly decided he wanted a couple days off. Go to Phoenix, drink with his buddies. You know, March Madness and all.
He's got to do a long drive. I mean, you know, we're talking about long walks. That's a long drive to Phoenix.
Long. That's not. Yeah, I mean, it is to Phoenix. It is a long drive, right?
What is about five and a half hours? Ooh,
good
six.
God. Just long enough to be annoying.
Yes,
is what it is. And ladies and gentlemen, it's Thursday. You know what that means? Second hour here, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. It's Unscripted with the Crack Man, Bill Krakenberger. Billy.
That's so nice of you guys.
Let me ask you a question. What's it like for you walking around here? Every 10 feet you walk, someone is greeting you with such excitement.
Today some people came up. I don't want to be real loud, but a guy that's over at the bar with his girlfriend, he goes, crack man, and he started shaking, and he goes, can I get a photo? He started shaking, and I said, come on, you want to go meet Gil? He goes, no, I can't. I got to wait till after the show. I mean, so cute. You know, like I said, it's
adorable.
So nice of people. People are really nice, and you know, like I said, I'm just a sports bettor. I mean, but it's good to, not only that, I try to give nuggets out and try to, even right there at the bar, I tried to save him when he's playing Keno.
Yeah.
I said, buddy, what are you doing? He said, what do you mean? He goes, I said, this is the worst game in the casino. He goes, really? like I said, this is the worst game in the casino. Play video poker.
I like that you have your hands up, like he's not going to hear you because of the hands.
I hope not.
That's great. Yeah, but you are a particularly. I wonder if you're aware. You are a particularly iconic figure with the Kangol. Do you know what the value of the Kangol? The decision that you made to go Kangol, a la LL Cool J, early in your life. Do you realize how much that makes you identifiable?
I guess so. Yeah, no, it does, because people, if I have the hat off, they don't know who I am sometimes.
They have no idea probably who you are.
Yeah, the hat, and I have many of them. Finally, Kangol sent 13 of them, a box of 13, but they just don't realize that I don't wear the different colors. I wear black or blue. That's it. And they sent pink, reds, yellows, whites.
What was the thinking? What was the first day that you put that on where you're like, oh, this looks nice?
I've been wearing Kangols for a good 25 years, maybe more, 25 plus years.
What did you think? You looked good in them, or what?
I like the hat. Yeah. I like the hat rather than a baseball hat. I thought it was a cool look.
Okay.
And then, I gave LL his permission to wear it.
Sure.
And then,
sure.
Yeah. And then came along. Who's the great actor? He's been in so many movies. He's in all the Quentin Tarantino movies.
About Samuel L. Jackson.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He wears it to the back, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, Samuel's always wearing them. And then look what the other day I seen him on a commercial again, and I was like, I wonder what his net worth is. Like $350 million.
Oh, and he's still doing those. He's still doing those ads. Yeah.
How did he get to be worth that kind of money? What did he do?
Oh, he has been in Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, Samuel L. Jackson.
Has been in so many movies. Ones that you've seen, ones that you haven't seen. Like, he was the definition of a working actor before he hit the big time. But he's been, I mean...
He's one of the main guys at Marvel, so Marvel's been, like, multi-billion.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know the Marvel thing at all.
Right, but Star Wars?
Yep, Star Wars.
Obviously, Pulp Fiction is a big one for him. I mean, there's so many that you could reel off.
I know Jurassic Park. He had that little role in Jurassic Park.
M. Night Shyamalan, he's done those movies as well. I mean, he's in everything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's in everything.
No, I mean, I know.
One of the great American actors, Samuel L.
Great
Jackson.
Actor. Yeah. Great actor. Yeah. Yeah, not like him.
So let me ask you this, Bill.
Yeah.
Sweet 16 tonight, but more importantly... Opening day, Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
When we were kids, this was a much bigger deal. Do you have the same excitement? You're a baseball fan. People know this about you.
Yeah.
You're a big baseball fan. You followed baseball when you were a kid. Do you have the same excitement? And more to our purposes, do you go crazy betting it for a full season or on opening day?
I had a good baseball season last year. Yeah, baseball I love as a fan more than any sport. I know people say, how can you be? It's the most boring. I grew up with baseball. You grow up back in New York, New Jersey, any, you know, Philadelphia, Boston, where you are. I mean, Baltimore, Washington, you got to be an Orioles fan when you were a kid.
I was an Orioles fan, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, however, now I have no allegiance to no teams. I don't care about any of them, actually. Not one. After the game's over, I don't care what happens to any of them. I am just I'm looking at a better standpoint. It's the old Bronx Tale thing. I don't care about you. Why do you care about him? That's 100% right. So.
And the sounds of Italian men romancing their ladies.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Marie, get in the effing car!
That's the best line of that movie.
Yeah.
So wait a minute. Do you bet season-long stuff, though?
I did. What did I bet yesterday? I bet the Marlins under season wins.
Oh, Stevie was tweeting that out.
Did Steve Fezzik send it out?
He was texting that to everybody yesterday.
Yeah, he sent it to me in the morning.
Will Hill came on the show and gave that out. So I always have to ask these guys. I'm like, who's the first guy who said this? Like, everybody all of a sudden is betting the Marlins under. Who's the first guy that liked this?
Yeah. I mean, he has a slew of them, but
was it under 78.5?
78.5 was a DraftKings.
Yeah.
Whenever he sends me like a 3 rated compared to a 2, but yeah, that's his team. And you notice how smart he is just to go unders.
He's on unders, yeah.
Unders are really the way to go in baseball.
Which is, by the way, I said that for years in my baseball manifesto, and then this year of all years, I have 2 overs that I played. But Roxy says this is a little overblown, and I always cede to Roxy Roxborough on this, but it is a data point that when you look at the entire pool of season wins, that if you added up all of the numbers, right, of everybody's season wins, all 30 clubs,
right,
it is always greater than 2,440, which is the total number of wins that you could have.
Right.
So,
right.
In other words, books shade the pool of season win totals to the over.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's 14 games over. Sometimes it's 50 over if you add them up.
Yep.
And what that is just simply a, bettors' brains are wired to the over, both in games in every sport and then just in terms of success. Our brains are wired for success. The average bettor, the average person, and that extends into betting, is wired to think good things about teams and players. And the real value is, generally speaking, obviously, there's as many teams that hit the over as do hit the under, ultimately. But generally, having the instinct to bet under is a good one.
Definitely.
Based on that shading.
Yes, for sure. But I do bet some daily things. I haven't really started out crazy yet this year, but I will bet some daily baseball sides and totals, which is unusual. Sides of any sport's unusual for me. I'm more of a totals guy. Speaking of which, I had Alan Boston on my podcast yesterday. We filmed. We're trying to get it up today to get it out there because he gave picks out for today. So I want to get it out
in
there.
In baseball or college hoops?
No, college hoops.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, and he really likes the game, too, and it's today.
So what does he like?
Let's see what time it is. It's Marquette -6.5 over NC State.
Oh, that's tomorrow.
Oh, is that tomorrow? Good, perfect. That's tomorrow. That's good. That's tomorrow. Excellent. So that's his stronger game.
He likes Marquette laying the points against
Marquette
NC State.
Marquette laying the points. Yeah, he really thinks that they really lay over him big. And he also gave me Illinois to buy at the 2. So Illinois +2 -20, which is today.
Yep.
And he gave out Alabama +5 -20, which is today. So they're both today, and the bigger ones tomorrow. And Allen had a great season, and that's why I wanted him on. I wanted him to talk about his season, about how he did evolve. Because people were saying, the game went past him because, he does stuff with spiral notebooks.
He still does everything by hand.
Yeah. So, but yet now he doesn't have the pressure of a boss where he had a boss that was moving games for him the next day. In other words, overnight he'd come out with his lines, and then the lines come up and he would compare them. And he had to wait till 8 in the morning to bet Vegas time, 11 o'clock Eastern time. Let's just face it. Between the overnight market and the early markets in college basketball, he was losing a lot of numbers. And yet, he still, managed to break about even the season before. But this season, when he has no responsibility, no boss, night before, betting DraftKings, FanDuel, that's it. That's the only two. DraftKings comes up first for a lot of things. So, and they're taking bets from him. So over at Connecticut at Foxwoods, he has killed it. He's had a really good season, and he had a decent tournament, too. He had a good tournament.
Yeah.
If Oregon wouldn't have lost in double overtime, he really would have had a good tournament. That was one of his bigger plays. Don't you hate that when you have an underdog, then you go to overtime, and then you go to a second overtime?
Oh. Forget on the sides.
Never mind the total.
What about the totals? Oh. We've had, what were those two games that went to double overtime? We had in-game unders on both of those games. And you get beat because they just play 10 extra minutes, right? There's nothing you can do. But you're like, I cannot. It's like every sport has its frustrations. But that one in college basketball is one of the crueler ones because you were right, right? Your bet was right. Your handicap was right. You should have won. And instead, just by the fate of the two teams ending up on the same score. By the way, that's a huge thing in college and pro. But college, because that's the one we do in-game most. Your overtime luck, both if you have overs or if you have unders. And if you go back and you look at what was my overtime luck as an aggregate, did I get the best of it on those or did I get the worst of it? And this has been one of those years where it's just the worst of it on overtime, on what we call quote-unquote overtime luck.
And I told a story yesterday on the podcast. Alan and I, about 10 years ago, did basketball together, and literally we won 60-some units for the season, but it was easily the most unlucky season, whereas the last 5 minutes of the game, either overtimes or, you know, take, you know, plus six up by one and lost the end game more than winning end games was ridiculous. 40 units were crazy, losing those type of games. So
was Alan able to get through your podcast without cursing?
No.
Of course not.
He cursed multiple times.
Just curious.
Yeah. But he asked ahead of time. He said, can you
curse? Oh, did he ask ahead of time?
He said, can I curse? I said, I don't curse.
So he did you the respect of asking you before.
I rarely curse.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. No, that's great.
Yeah, he cursed.
Otherwise, he'd still be on the show if he wouldn't. You know,
yeah, just a way of communicating. I curse, too, but never on shows. I try not to ever, you know.
Yeah, well, he wasn't able to do that here. Sorry. No. Love you, Alan, but come on, man. We're coming back. More of the Crack Man next. Numbers game live from Bar Canada here at the D. Lowest prices for over 30 years. Find what you love. Love what you do. Please drink responsibly. Must be 21 plus at Total Wine, Spirits, Beer, and More. It's Gil Alexander, Wyatt Tomchek in for the vacation, and Kelly Bidlin, and of course, Bill Krakenberger. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. I'm sorry I haven't been reading these because there's tons now to catch up on. This is from Brian M. Oh, getting back to the whole scheduling thing with baseball, he says, I believe it is actually the semifinals. Talking about March Madness are on the first Saturday, which holds true. Typically, the regular season ended 5 days later than last year, maybe some cause from the timing of Christmas. It was on April 8th in 2019 as well that this happened, I believe he means. Brad Billups, using your San Francisco Giants betting logic, why not the Padres in lieu of the Giants? Better lineup and cease replacing Snell. Any under win totals? Angels, Yankees are on my radar. Thoughts on the Reds? I'm not as high on the Reds as some are. Some people love the Reds. Some people love the Reds to win the NL Central. I'm not quite there with them. Back to your original question about the Giants. Why not? Why did you? I think what you're asking me is why did I play the Padres season win total over, but the Giants on the futures? Because I actually believe the Giants rotation is better than that of the Padres. And I believe in the Giants brass more than I do the Padres. So I think the Giants, to me, are more likely to get into the postseason. And once in, I like the way that roster construction is for San Francisco more than I actually do for San Diego. Jamie Leva, I have a feeling Kelly vacationing is a cover for falconry training. Long live Bidlin's birds of prey. Happy opening day, Gil, and go Dodgers. Not being political here, but Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's mounting a third-party campaign, I Googled why his voice is the way he is. I wanted to know what his medical condition was. And while doing that, I learned he is like a falconer for life. He's like a massive falconer as well.
It's the amazing thing with the internet, Gil. You look up something, about 30 minutes later, you're like, what was I looking up the first time?
President of falconry. Yeah. Stringfellow Hawk. John the Microwave Legace. That's what I used to call him. Like Vinny Johnson of the Detroit Pistons, Legace is the microwave. Instant offense. Bill Hooker, Jason had Ellie to hit more homers than O'Neill. I don't think that's true. It was the other way around. He had O'Neill Cruz to hit more home runs than Ellie De La Cruz. I'll double check on that. Jim James Sott, two things. Love the Guardians bet that you made March and April. Also sprinkled a bit on Brian Recchio, Rookie of the Year at 50-1 of the Guardians, top 100 prospect, and won the shortstop job this spring. Speaking of no awareness on scheduling, Guardians home opener on April 8th is during full solar eclipse here. Eclipse at 4 p.m. Game starts at 5. Well, I don't expect them to know about the solar eclipse, but that's interesting too. Jesse Welch, what's my favorite MLB long shot future? So glad you asked, Gilly. Giants, Orioles, exactas. Let's go. That's another fun one, by the way, is just, and again, don't go crazy and try to be your hero and pick one over the other in the series itself. But if you can hit the two teams, obviously that's going to be huge. Giants, Orioles, my head would explode. My team of childhood, my team of adulthood, black and orange, Orioles and Giants. Chris Heath, Mike Palm this morning said the average career wins for today's starters was 41. Oh, that was dovetailing on what I was saying about how yesterday on the show, I was talking about how when you look up and down the opening day slate at the Aces, supposedly the Aces, there's a lot of these guys where you're like, really? This is their opening day starter? Like, I remember years where it was just a who's who of borderline Hall of Famers, if not Hall of Famers. Jimmy Lopez, producer number 10, Wyatt, I got to say, there's a lot of producer number 10 talk here. Jimmy Lopez, producer number 10 has already butchered the ANG promo code twice. Bring back producer number 9 ASAP. That is unless producer number 10 knows a great sushi spot. He's not producer number 10. Sorry,
Wyatt. I got fired. I only made it an hour, Gil. I'm sorry.
Primetime, thought for sure you were going to have Dr. Bob tell his wife that you couldn't feel your face. All right, that's one of my favorite numbers game stories ever. For those who haven't heard it, Dr. Bob and I used to live in San Francisco. We always used to hang out. One day, we always used to go to the same Thai lunch spot on Union Street. And we would walk down Union Street afterwards. And the weekend had his jam, I Can't Feel Your Face. And Bob, serious, innocently, says to me, Gil, have you ever been so in love that you couldn't feel your face? And I say to him, I go, Bob, I don't think that's what the song's about. And he goes, no. He thought about it. He goes, no, that's what it's about. It's about, what, cocaine use, I believe. I was like, okay, Bob. This is when he dated his fiancée, now his wife. There you go. 3JackH3131. When is the job posting for producer number 10 going up at VEASAN? Can someone work remotely and do that job? How can Kelly take off opening day? Check your DMs for my resume. And on. We'll get to more of these. Oh, this is the last one, Crack. This leads into you. Bob Limbo. Met Crack at Ocean Casino Atlantic City a couple years ago. Was definitely the hat that convinced me it was him. He is who we think he is.
They are who we thought that they were. Yeah,
Denny Green.
You. Yeah.
We are who they thought we thought they were.
As I'm betting some college hockey.
Are you really?
Yes.
What'd you bet? Tell everybody.
Well, because Randy McKay, who's actually very good at hockey in general, but college hockey too. Two NCAA hockey today. UMass plus 190 or better, which four spots in Vegas have. South Point had plus 195 just now until I bet it. Cornell plus 110 or better. So two college hockey games there. UMass plus 190. Cornell plus 110. I'm actually trying to take 115 right now on Cornell. So they are out there. But, wow, a slew of games this morning, which I didn't expect given out here.
College hockey, UMass plus 190.
UMass
and then Cornell.
And Cornell.
Shop around. Billy found a plus 115. Bet it before Bill does.
Yeah.
Bill's going to move it.
Yeah, Cornell plus. And, of course, Don Best is, of course, wrong. Wonderful.
Who,
what else is there?
Who of all of your.
You have to use Spank Odds.
Of all of your. Spank Odds, a little plug.
Yeah.
Of all of your advisors, I don't know what you call them, your guys who give you plays.
Yeah.
Who's the guy that is infallible to you? Who's the guy that when he sends you something, you're like, I must play this, period, no questions asked?
Well, no, I do have a guy that he would kill me if I mentioned his name. But by the way, no one would know him. He wouldn't even have been known.
What sport?
College football, college basketball.
Okay.
Yeah, he wouldn't even, like if I said his name, you wouldn't even know him.
Okay.
Yeah. Meyer Lansky. Like they would, no.
Wait a minute, I think I know that guy.
Now I say Meyer because that is his first name, really. It's his real technical name, but no one would even know him, you know. By the way, I want to listen to anything that a Meyer, Abe, Stewie, Jaime, you know, Amoish, I want to listen to anything they say sports betting wise.
Look at my face.
Oh.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
No, I'm just saying. That
man knows what he's doing.
Yeah, no,
it's your own personal leaflet of greats, if you know what I mean.
But let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Steve Fezzik had a great the last 2 years have been great. Imagine the grief he takes. And I know I talk about him every week on the show, but he's had, you're asking about who's a good handicapper or who's a good originator or who's good at, you know, getting in good information. Let's put it that way. The last 2 years, Steve Fezzik is right there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, he's awesome.
Yeah, he had some good years.
But then he'll throw out that he's betting minus 4,500 on Purdue.
And he won them all.
And then they lose to – well, he did this time.
He won four units. He won four units.
Although one went to overtime. Let's not go so casual about it.
Yeah, that was easy.
Yeah, no, never in doubt. Houston giving up the lead in their game. Yeah.
And then the game that was was it against Fordham or something? No. What was the game a couple weeks ago? Someone was given.
Oh, the Villanova.
Villanova, yeah.
DePaul game.
Yeah, DePaul game. Just a lazy three at the end.
Yeah, so easy.
Whew, God, scary.
No, but to your point. But that's a general point that I think that needs to be made, which is all of us are on air for a specific amount of time or are on Twitter and tweeting just specifically things in the case of Fez, right?
Yeah.
None of this represents the breadth of what we're betting. And so inevitably, you always get, well, first of all, you always get the guys who are like, when you win, they're like, show me a ticket that you won. Oh, and then if you won, you're like, oh, you probably bet $2 on it. But if you lose, they don't ask you to show you their ticket. They take you at your word, and they think you lost everybody tons of money, right? The point being that it's never a representation of the full breadth of what you're betting.
Oh, sure.
And so in the case of Fezzik, that's a great example.
Yeah, people
have no idea.
You know, what's the word that I'm thinking that the reason why I don't like to give out picks on shows is...
Thankless.
Thankless. It's thankless. Like, now, I just gave five picks out. I gave Alan Boston's three picks. I gave Randy's two picks.
What were Alan's three?
His three picks were Alabama buying against North Carolina, plus five, buying at the five.
Uh-huh.
Illinois buying at the two against Iowa State.
What was the third?
The stronger one, Marquette.
Oh,
minus
six and a half
over NC State.
Right, so you just gave
up
five.
Let's say they go 5-0.
Right.
Which mathematically is very hard to do.
Yeah.
You really don't. No one really says too much. God forbid they go 2-3.
Listen, Dr. Bob was on last week. I think Bob went 0-3.
Oh, they had to kill him. No, they had to kill him. People had to go crazy.
He got off pretty. But if you look at his long term record, right?
Yeah. That's all it's about.
That's all it's about.
Yeah.
But that's not how the average person's brain works. Like, well, you just cost me money. You suck.
Gil, it's the reason why I have 15 guys. 15.
Yeah.
You know, I do sell picks. And the reason why I have 15 guys since day one, 5 years, that literally are with me from the beginning. They have never canceled their service, even through a bad losing month, because they know at the end of the year it's going to be a 100-unit win or whatever, 50-unit win, whatever it may be.
I think most people who listen to this show get that.
It's got to be long-term.
Yeah.
You can't go by one game or one, you know. Yeah, it's thankless. I like that word.
Thankless. It is. It's totally thankless. Look at Raz, by the way, this year. Thankless? My God.
Yeah. Now. See, they had a bad losing season, and people destroyed them.
We'll come back. More with the Crack Man. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. There's only 2 days left to sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription and get your first year for only $199 instead of the typical price of $240. Just use promo code ANG. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do for an entire year, including our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access, plus access to our March Madness betting hub with picks for every game of the tournament. Remember, this offer expires after tomorrow. After Friday. So sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe and use promo code ANG.
Three most important letters in the alphabet.
Your mic wasn't on when you started that.
What? No. Yes, it was. No.
Get your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Yeah, one job, Wyatt.
I'm throwing the challenge flag, the progressive challenge flag.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that that commercial they throw the challenge flag where you.
That's
go,
right. You is go it to okay? Booth. Yeah. Hey, Mike wasn't on, man. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Jeff Levine, Gil, thanks for doing my homework on the Guardians. I think it gives more value to my season-long investments on them, more leverage in early May to adjust/add to these bets after Cleveland starts on fire. Well, let's hope so, Jeff. I appreciate that. Richard Palmer, he was in Goodfellas. Goodfellas.
Oh, what's that?
Oh, not Bronxdale? Did you make a mistake earlier on that? Is that what he's referring to?
No, that's Bronxdale.
Oh, okay.
No. Yours is in Bronx Tale.
Yeah.
And mine's in Bronx. Mine was Chaz Palminteri telling the kid, you know, Mickey Mantle, that's what you're worried about. And yours was Italian men romancing women. They're both Bronx Tale.
He said, hashtag Stax Edwards.
Oh, wow. Oh, you know what he's talking about?
Yeah.
He's talking about the actor we talked about before.
Oh, gotcha, gotcha.
And,
yeah.
And, you know, and he also was in that movie also. That's why. I don't know. I can't remember his name. We just talked about
Samuel L. Jackson.
Jesus.
Forrest Lehman. How about fouling down double digits with 20 and 10 seconds, respectively, in two games to push great underplays over? It's tough to swallow. Had Oregon too. Yeah, dude. I know. Double J's. Loved hearing you guys talk about Heartbreak City. We get texts as well talking about what we were talking about before the break. Michael Montesano, who's been on the show talking college hoops with us, Booby Prize winner over at Circa Millions, he said, speaking of what you guys are talking about, my son killed me for losing with Lipscomb to win the A-Sun tournament on your show when they lost at the buzzer in the opening round. LOL, and his son was murdering him. And then Lou Finicaro, Sweet Lou, Gamble Lou. Is that a sound strategy, you say? The long-term approach, as you and Bill just touched upon. Marathon, not a sprint. It's Gil Alexander. It's Wyatt Tomchek. It's the Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, live from Bar Canada at the D. Barcanada, the barrage in Spanish. Bill Krakenberger, at Bill Crackman with a K, the name of his podcast. Wise Cracks with John Orlando and Bill Krakenberger.
And Alan Boston.
And Alan Boston well, this did, week.
You know, we had a whole show planned with all different things. Never got it in.
Oh, no.
I just figured it's eight games. Alan's going to discuss eight games. No. It won't be more than 20 minutes. He was the whole hour.
I just want to say this.
Entire hour.
Yeah. Alan and I have a podcast from 2 days after the day that the pandemic hit all the conference tournaments.
Right.
So it's the last thing I did before I went to San Francisco when the pandemic hit. And it's an hour and a half of just Alan Boston going off on all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Again, the famous line being they don't make cocaine like they used to. He uttered on that podcast as well.
The coaches. The coaches. Yeah. He doesn't like some of the coaches. But yet he likes some of the coaches. So it's who he likes, who he doesn't like coach-wise.
Oh, can I bring up something about baseball betting here? Because I just got a pet peeve of mine just came up. So, you got guys who are tweeting out. We have a cottage industry within the betting industry of guys who tweet out, oh, these are the big bets that are made. That's a pet peeve of mine. Like, I don't care. Because these bets are made in volume offshore anyway. So, like, I'm not particularly interested in one that's made as just because it's made here as newsworthy to me. But other people seem to love, hey, some guy lost $200,000, betting on a thing. The other thing is they also talk about, here's what people are, what the public is betting on this and what they're not. When baseball season is here, this is one of my big pet peeves is, They're sending out, so the majority of bets today, one person who sort of delves in this little part of our industry, said majority of bets are on NRFI in every opening day game. What he's talking about is most people are betting no runs first inning. And for those who have listened to this show for a long time, Jason Weingarten and I have been talking about first inning bets on this show for over half a decade. Before that, on the Beating the Book podcast and the Betting Door podcast. And the instinct to go no on runs in the first inning, so no runs first inning, is not the instinct you should have. I just want to point that out there. So you're going to get a lot of people in sports betting media who are going to say, oh, wow, everybody's betting no runs first inning. And the brain, for someone who watches baseball, especially on a day like this when there are aces, I get it, not as many as usual, as I pointed out earlier, but you do have a good amount of aces, obviously, on opening day. And so the instinct for people, for bettors, is, well, aces, clearly they're the best pitchers on these teams. The likelihood of runs is less. But betting-wise, the value is actually the opposite of that. And so I just want to point out this is one of the things that gets promulgated in sports media that is actually leading people astray, generally speaking.
Gotcha.
Whether that happens today or not is one day, is not the sample size you should look at. But I'm just saying, generally, that's not the instinct should have.
A couple of good guys on, they're not a couple. I mean, we have a really good following, man. I'll tell you, we really do from the show. I see people outside of here all the time, and you would think they'd recognize me from doing onto a nationwide Fox show on 512 networks. No, VSiN.
Yeah.
Gil Alexander. Listen to you guys every Thursday. So I'm sorry they don't listen the rest of the week, but they listen Thursdays.
That's great. They're like, just Thursday. We forget about it the rest of the week. That's right. Yeah.
But no, J&J Watering Hole.
Oh, he's great.
Blindly tailing you and Randy. Never made a college hockey bet in my life. But we believe in all things Randy. But you know what he's saying, and he also talked about long term, and I'm in it for the long term. And so did Todd Bubba Horowitz after that.
Yep.
And, you know, so these guys are, you know, Jason, these guys are all great guys.
Oh, these guys are smart.
Larry, these guys are really good guys. So, but going into the, what I'm talking about this is, like, you know, we put our money where our mouth is.
Yes.
Like, I mean, I just made decent sized bets on all this stuff, and so does Randy. We're not guys out there that are talking, you know. Yesterday, I put out a tweet. Dana White was interviewed by a girl in the industry. Did you guys see this? You've seen this, right?
Yeah, it was with Sage Steele.
Oh.
Who's that?
Oh, Sage Steele used to be on ESPN. Oh, I'd like to see that interview.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She knows nothing. So she was on there, and she said, after interviewing him, she says, so, Joe Rogan, what do you think about? And he's like, do you think I'm Joe Rogan? Well, she's like, I did for a second.
Well, it turned out they were messing with Dana White because Howie Mandel came out as well.
Oh, it was a joke.
Let me tell you something. I didn't hear nothing about this. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I believe that. She was literally so embarrassed that he started cursing. He's like, what? You calling me F and Joe Rugg?
Dana White started cursing at Sage Steele?
Yeah, not really at her, but
I gotta see this.
You know, like, you know, and I put out a tweet, you know, Bills, I'm a wise guy. I said, wow, this draws parallels to sports betting. When you have people interviewing people they don't even know, they're just told they're reading from a script.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That don't bet.
Yeah.
So going back to J&J's text, I'm just thinking about betting. And in our business, people are out there giving out information, telling people to put their money out.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're listening to all these pretty faces. And I'm talking about men, too.
Yeah.
I'm not saying telling you what to bet, advising you what to bet. Yet they have no stake in the game. I don't care if you bet 10 grocery dollars. Have some stake in the game if you want to give me advice on what to bet on. You know what I mean? You want to tell me to bet prop bets? You want to tell me to bet things on? And this goes all over all sorts of media. Big famous stations like ESPN and little dinky anything. Don't be telling people what to bet and what kind of advice, what you should bet. And you don't even have a stake in the game. You're making these people, these hardworking, you know, blue-collar people, they work 40, 50 hours a week. They come home. They want to watch someone on TV or why, and they respect the network. And, oh, wow. Oh, did she tell me to bet that or he tell me to bet that?
Well, this is, I mean, again, those of us who have been immersed in sports betting for all of our lives and are 24/7, if not 365, sports bettors. Did you see the Reese Davis thing from this past weekend? Reese Davis on ESPN. So Reese Davis is spectacular at what he does.
Yep.
And he's always buttoned up. And they just did a segment, a sports betting segment, where Reese, off the cuff, makes a remark after the advice was given that, oh, this is like a no-risk investment. He used that phraseology. And obviously, this set gambling Twitter afire, and justifiably so it did.
Thank God it won.
I didn't even know.
Under on Northwestern points.
But it's to your point, and I'm not at all in any way saying, you know, bad things about Reese. Reese is great. But he had a moment as a non-sports bettor.
Yeah, he didn't mean that.
He didn't mean it, right?
No.
But a sports bettor, right, someone who truly is a sports bettor, would never have said that, right?
You know, he got really ripped apart.
He got ripped apart.
Yeah.
He got ripped apart. And then his apology didn't make things any better.
Yeah.
But you know, that's the other thing. We have to sort of understand where people are.
Under anonymity, by the way, we're ripped apart.
Oh, of course.
For the most part.
How does everybody get ripped?
Yeah.
Because people have
telephone tough guys.
People have the courage of anonymity.
Yeah.
I know what you want to say, Bill. Say it.
What?
Come down here. Say it to our face.
Nah, listen. I got palm olive hands. But I'm also not in the Fortune 500 business.
That's awesome. But, yeah, that it's always going to happen.
Yeah.
Again. More with the Crack Man. We'll wrap things up. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. There's never been a better time to have skin in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook because right now we have a VSiN exclusive offer for new DraftKings customers. Earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager. Quite the deal. You can earn up to $2,500 worth of bonus bets in your first 3 days on DraftKings. Do not wait. Download the app now, though. Use code ANG when you sign up and earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager.
That's one of the biggest promos I've seen them do.
That's huge.
So for every 500, you get $1,000 back.
Other way around. Every 1,000, you get 500. Yeah.
I got up to 2,500. I'll tell you right now, guys. I'll give you guys some advice, too, about this. When you bet, you use these bonus bets, you should be taking underdogs. And I don't mean underdog points, underdog money lines. There's some info behind that, some strength behind that, taking those money lines to maximize those bonuses. And you know what? I'll give you some advice. This wasn't even planned. DraftKings is going to love this. You can actually just market handicap. You don't have to know anything. Just know that pull up some lines and just look at the money lines. Let's use Randy's game. What did he get? UMass. Okay. So UMass plus 178, 180, 190, 190. If DraftKings has 195, that's where you want to use that bonus bet. Like, you'll want to use it on something that is outside the realm where they're too high on money lines. And by the way, let's look at the next game. Imagine this team's called Rochester Institute. Rochester Institute's a college hockey team. Okay, so versus Boston. Look at this. It's a real line on it. Look, Circa's got it.
The
Institute. We are in an institute in our lives. But now, if you look across the board, 350, 350, 350, plus 365 here at Circa, plus 375. That plus 370, that's the highest out of market. You could just market cap. All right, I've said enough before they throw me off air. That's it.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. No, thank you for that. Yeah. Appreciate it. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback from everybody. Best listeners in the business. Bert Wiedemeyer.
I love that name. You understand that's from the Honeymooners. Most people don't know
that.
Oh,
I didn't know that.
That's a Honeymooners guy. I love him.
Oh, all right, go ahead. So the Kangol is sort of like regalia for my guy Bill Krakenberger, but what stands out most is his aura. He understands how to treat people no matter their place on the totem pole. This is what sets him apart. I've been a big fan of his since day one.
Oh, that's very nice. I never met him. That's really nice. Thank you, Bert.
Mike Goosh, Lion King D, said, I'll never forget the first time you had red on, Gil. My jaw was literally on the floor the whole time. I've never seen you so uncomfortable. That's the curse.
Oh, Boston
Red.
That's
the curse. Yeah. Montreal Max. Don't feel bad about Alan swearing on your show, Gil, since he's been doing that going back to the Stardust line with Arnie K. Lang.
Who said that?
Montreal Max. We love Montreal Max.
Oh, yeah, Max. I'll say, how does someone know that?
Yeah, that was way back in 1989 on KDWN at 50 kW AM station up and down the coast, plus a bunch of Coke jokes, so he's always been an FCC nightmare. No, I know that, but he promised, and then he didn't follow through. Larry Fresh. Good thing I left town yesterday. I would have totally fanboyed on meeting Crackman.
Oh, my man.
Chance Copperpot, the March-April MLB bet that you made was what I was getting at yesterday. DK offered some accounts a deal where you get bonus money back for each win from the team you bet on, essentially making the bet a free roll. I took the shot on the Pirates, 60-1. Jason H. 11.
Wow.
Jason H. 11. Don't forget to always listen to Moisha Alexander and Saul Wishnev.
Oh.
Scheming A. Smith, Massachusetts Gaming Commission just had a meeting about operators limiting customers. The committee all agreed it's unfair, and there'll be changes to operators limiting customers. Finally, some movement on this front.
You're kidding me. That's unbelievable hearing this.
It's unbelievable is right.
Let me know when it's official. I'll be moving there.
That's right. Todd Bubba Horowitz, between Crack and Gill, you get the best picks in the business. More importantly, you never get excuses or lines you cannot bet. Two of the best in the business. Thank you. Thank you, Todd. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Bill Hooker, he said, of course I got the cruise thing wrong. Mantis Toboggan. Amen, Bill. Tailed all of Allen's games this year. Great follow, wealth of knowledge. Kevin Ryan, I'm at DraftKings in Scottsdale and just heard a largest man with spiked blonde hair screaming ANG and betting splits. And then TWJD. Last year, Atlanta averaged 1.17 runs in the first inning at home. The next highest was 0.77. Your Braves just killed it. First innings at home last year.
Oh, they were phenomenal last year. That's why the choke job that they had in the playoffs just hurt that much worse.
But that's the thing about baseball, man. It's just the nature of the beast in the postseason. They're still the best team in baseball to me. But can they do it in the postseason? It's a crapshoot.
If we can avoid the Phillies.
Well, Phillies are playoff
tough.
The
kryptonite for us right now is the Philadelphia Phillies.
But Billy Bean's famous line, man. Billy Bean's famous line. My blank doesn't work in the postseason. You know, I mean, that's just his way of saying my analytics can over a large sample size will manifest, but over a best of three, a best of five, a best of seven, crapshoot.
I got to tell you, I was debating whether to say this. I'm not really trying to be funny, but it's going to come off funny. So when I came in before the show, I'm sitting down and I'm seeing not that you're a new guy. I've seen you before. I was like, oh no, Kelly's. I figured they fired Kelly. I really did. I really did. I said, oh, now they went through another person. I mean, no, because this network goes through more producers than the Kardashians go through men.
No, it's just this show that I've had nine producers.
Yeah.
Nine. And Jeff was the Grover Cleveland. Jeff Parlay was 5-8.
I'm so happy to hear because I like Kelly. Not that I'm nothing against you, but I like Kelly.
Kelly takes one day off and everything, like the whole world goes on fire.
I was like, oh no, he's gone. And there's nothing anyone could do. He's just gone.
No.
Goodfellas line.
No.
Hey, before we get off, I want to talk about, you guys know that Tropicana's closing on Tuesday. Tropicana out of business, closing the doors on Tuesday, owned by Bally's. So
RIP Trop.
So Randy, I hope you're listening. I know you are. I hope you don't get mad. I'm going to talk about it, Randy, because it's not happening anyway. It's not going to cost us anything. So Randy's flying to town. I have to admit it. I had like me and my neighbor. I told my neighbor, I said, I need you next week before Tropicana closes. I need you for a couple days. He said, why? I said, don't ask no questions. Just please, you're coming with me. I need a body. So he says, okay, I'll come. And it doesn't work. You know, it doesn't work. And he loves to gamble, total degen. But, you know, I try to show him some sharp things, but he's not going to listen anyway. But so when the casino closes, what happens to those? You could see those numbers going by on that progressive machine there?
Uh-huh, yeah.
They have to give that money away. That money was built up from people that are playing in the casino.
Have to
give the money away. We're closing the doors.
Yeah.
We got to give the money away. So there has been some unbelievable opportunities in the past.
This is the most actionable information.
Yes. Most people don't notice. And, and Randy's, don't get upset at me because there's not going to be any casinos closing anytime soon that we know of anyway. So they have to give that money away. It equals millions of dollars sometimes. Like Riviera, when it closed, millions of dollars. So they have to give that money away. All the progressives, if something starts at 1,000, it's up to 2,800, there's 1,800 there. If something starts at, 5,000 and it's up to 25,000, there's 20,000 there. That's only two machines. Now, I went in Tropicana the other day and videotaped machines, and I was adding it up, and I'm like, oh, my God. It's unbelievable. Like one bank of machines had like 100,000 over the progressives. Like, well, Jesus, that's just one bank.
So you're going to flood the zone with bodies.
So the plan was to come in, kill them. We're going to do this because now they'll put it at video pokers, progressives. They'll make 98% machines, 110%. Or they'll have drawings and give all the money away to guys that obtain entries from playing the machines for points. One thing we forgot. Bally's owns Tropicana. So Bally's says, oh, we're going to take that money, millions of dollars in progressives. It wasn't like Riviera.
Yeah.
And we're going to spread it out amongst our other casinos.
That's right.
I was like, oh, my God, Randy. I was supposed to go away this weekend. I didn't go away. I had everything scheduled all around this. And sure enough, now it's worth nothing. Just maybe get a dollar chips and say you have a dollar trip from the Trop. But I was like, oh, my. You know, Trop's got a great history, though. One of the last casinos in town that was mob-controlled.
Yeah.
Frank Costello, when he was shot, 80 years ago. Not 80, maybe 70 years, whatever it was. It was like 1960 or something. When he was shot, and he wasn't killed, but inside of his jacket pocket, they found a slip. And it said the weekly drop from Tropicana Las Vegas, including one player that lost $60,000 playing craps, like crap figures. Like, this was a mob-controlled casino back then. It's one of the last ones. So so much so, a new manager came in 1980, took over the place. He found three different scams. Anthony Curtis said this on this podcast. He found a scam of, like, the slot machine someone was scamming, the cage someone was stealing silver dollars. Over a 20-year period, they said she stole millions. And there was three different scams. I forgot the other one. Oh, a casino host scam. There was three different scams giving money away. And he put signs up all around the back of the casino that said, the mob has left the building. Please stop stealing. You know, like, I thought that was so funny. But, yes.
I love your story about you and Randy, though.
We were all planned. I wasn't telling nobody. I had this whole plan. This could be a big opportunity to make, five figures.
As you were telling the story before I anticipated finally what was coming, I was thinking to myself, I was like, why would Bill say this out loud? And then I'm like, oh, I see. He's telegraphing the past.
Another well-calculated plan that went to pot.
One little detail we forgot.
The Bally's owns it. It wasn't like Riviera. You have one casino. It's a sole, lone wolf casino. They have to give the money away.
But in the event that a mom-and-pop casino closes at some point in the future, there you go.
Got to give the progressive gaming law.
Bill Krakenberger, everybody. At Bill Crackman with the K. Wise Guys, the name of the podcast.
Wise Cracks.
Wise, what did I say?
Wise guys.
Might as well
Same
be
thing.
Wise guys. Wise Cracks with John Orlando and Bill Krakenberger. We've done all we can do. Good luck with all your opening day bets at Major League Baseball in the Sweet 16. Wyatt, you're here tomorrow? Yes.
Yes, sir.
Gojo and Golliker next. Enjoy.